Just as I took a bite. I'd like to welcome everyone to the City Council work session meeting of May 30th, 2023. And our item here is a review of the animal control regulations for Davis County Code Title VI. And we'll turn over to Sherry Pace.
I'm feeling like everybody didn't want to hear this. That's why they came. I bored them last time in the last work session. Not working. Clicker's not working. Nothing's working today. Yay. Okay, so what I have prepared for you is I've just gone side by side through the Davis County ordinance and then our ordinance, so you can see where they're the same, where they're a little bit different. Definitely the Davis County ordinance, animal control ordinance, is a lot more comprehensive than ours. So this is kind of an example. We have very few definitions in our ordinance. We have my favorite definition, of course, is in Title 10, which defines dangerous animals as lions and tigers. It specifically says that, so I'm really sad to see that go from the code because that makes me smile every time I read it.
Add and bears, oh my.
Yeah, it says household pets are, it's something like household pets are normal domestic animals and are not normally vicious, such as lions and tigers. And so I always smile every time I see that. But Davis County Ordinances goes into a lot more about what an animal at large is, what is on and off property, what a dangerous animal is, what a working dog is, what specifically a restraint device is, and what it defines a service animal. Our ordinance only defines a seeing or hearing dog. Doesn't define all service animals, and it goes on further in Davis County's with the new definition for emotional support animals. So those are the differences in the definitions. So as we go through the different ordinances, Davis County Ordinance in 6840 goes over the duties of the and the power authority of the animal control ordinances or animal control officers. So they're very, very similar. It does go into more detail. Ours is very light on what the power and authority is, but basically it's the same thing. They have the same right to impound a dog. They have the same right to investigate. They have the same rights to, this is really awkward with that sound in the background. Sorry, my voice is echoing over there. They have the same kind of prohibitions for interfering with officers, and then the procedures for acting with peace officers and how to issue criminal citations. They do go into much greater detail in the specifics. In fact, they go into a good detail on their notice of violations and talks about how the ordinance official can, in lieu of filing criminal citations, actually do a notice of violation, which is more like a civil citation. And if the person that has the problem animal is agreeable to that, they can just take the citation. If they're not, then they can ask for a trial and go for a criminal. So I'm not really sure how you would want to do that. I would rather go the citation way if I were had an animal that was in violation. But they go through the whole stipulation of what the violation, the stipulation has to have in it, has to have what the violation is, what the remedy and compliance date is, how to, what the fee is, and then the penalties for not abiding by the stipulation, which.
Lisa and Natalie, if you guys could both mute your phones, I think we would stop hearing feedback from your phones. Try that. We'll let Sherry continue. Thank you. Can you mute your phones? Push the mute button on your phone. Great. We're getting some feedback from your phones. And that should help. And then if you wish to speak, you can unmute and talk.
And Ken will interrupt me if you unmute and talk, so if I'm not noticing. Anyway, so it goes into the specifics of what needs to be on the notice of violation and the penalties for not abiding by the stipulation. So those might be somebody had a dog that wasn't licensed, and rather than giving them a ticket, they could give them a notice of violation and a stipulation that they go and get their dog licensed and get the rabies vaccination up to date or whatever the issue is. And that's a picture of my cat right there. That's Spooky. And it doesn't work again, the clicker. Okay. So Davis County ordinance provides for an informal resolution of their ticketing so that it can be handled informally with the director. So this would go to resolve any of the settlements if there were an issue with it. It's not used to be used for criminal or civil violations that have already commenced in court, and the settlement would need to be in writing. The director reviews those, any unresolved claims or grievances and complaints, and if there is an appeal of that, it would go to the county commissioner. So in our ordinance, we have an administrative remedy, and the aggrieved party would go to the city manager. So the difference in their ordinance and our ordinance is that if you have a problem with your animal control citation that you get in the city, you would come to Ken as the city manager, and in under the county, you would go to the director of animal control. And then if you had a problem with that resolution, you would go up to the elected officials to the county commission. And it's actually just to the county commissioner that's over that department. It's not the full body of the county commission. And then for ours, if our city manager were to rule on the grievance with the complaint, he would have 5 days to do that. And then they could petition to court if they didn't like that resolution of that. And if they didn't comply, then we can serve them with a notice to appear in court 5 days before, and it would be a Class B misdemeanor. So your dog is not as cool as my dog because it doesn't ride a Harley. This is also my dog too, because let's try to make this a little bit more fun. So Davis County ordinances for licensing and registration, this is probably the biggest change. They will allow you to have up to dogs and cats that are over 4 months. They have to be they get a lower fee if they're sterilized and microchipped. There are no fees for service animals, not the emotional support animals. They have to actually be service animals that are trained to do a task for somebody with a disability. And then owners that are over 60 can get their pets licensed for one lifetime fee. And the licensing available is by 1 or 3 years. They also have online licensing by mail or in person. Our licensing requirement is the same as far as the number of dogs. It has to be renewed yearly according to our ordinance. Same proof of vaccination and sterilization and the exemption for seeing eye dogs or hearing dogs.
It looks like they have added cats.
They have added cats. So that's the difference between our ordinance requires dogs to be licensed. The cats are also required to be licensed under the county. There are some exemptions under the county licensing. So if you have a guest that is staying at your home and they bring their cat or their dog, they can remain in the county for 30 days without being licensed in the county. And then there are some more specifics about in the county ordinance about requiring a tag and a collar on all dogs and cats. And they can be impounded if they're not wearing a license when their rabies vaccination. All of the animals are assumed to be unvaccinated if they don't have a tag, a rabies tag and a license. Under Davis County ordinance, they have a category for breeders and large kennels. So this requires a permit for that. It has to be accompanied with a letter from the city or county planning and zoning to approve of the zoning use of the property for the kennel or the breeder. It can't be transferable to a location or to a different licensee. and it's subject to inspection 30 days before the license is issued. So our regulatory permit, we have in our code, we have a call out for commercial permits, and then we have a call out for a kennel permit for three or more dogs. So under our ordinance, you can have two dogs, and your third dog, you have to go get a kennel permit. This is where a lot of the confusion has come in from the county animal control and enforcing the various city rules, because their kennel permit, they think of as more of a commercial endeavor and not just a household that wants to have three or more pets. So that changes, that will change in our ordinance, and we're going to redefine kennel as a commercial endeavor. And I'll talk about the number of permits in just a second. And then it also states under the regulatory permits that the city may establish rules and regulations, but they're not defined as what that is or who's supposed to come up with those rules and regulations. So that's a little bit confusing under our code. And then we would suspend a permit if they're in violation, which is the same as the county. So the number of cats and dogs per residence, that's the big one that changes. So under the county ordinance, every residence or every dwelling, home can have three cats or dogs in any combination. You can have a special permit for a fourth pet. So under our ordinance, you would have to get a kennel permit for the third pet. Now you can have three pets without a special license. If you want to get the fourth permit under the county license, you would get a special permit. So they also have an exemptions to that number if you have a service animal, and that would include retired service animals or government dogs. So dogs that are a police dog, for instance, if one of our police officers had a canine and they had more than four pets, they could have that canine that is the service dog for the police because it's trained for government purposes.
So if you breed your dog and have a litter and you have to keep them for 6 weeks or whatever with mom.
You can keep them till they're 4 months old.
Okay.
So you have to find homes for them before they're 4 months old. Under our ordinance right now, that you definitely cannot have more than three cats or dogs per residence, or you could have more than that, but one of those, the third dog under our ordinance, would have to be acquired from a legitimate animal shelter. They used to have that in the county code too in the draft, and they took that out because it's really difficult to show how a cat or a dog were adopted unless you had specific papers. So for instance, I have cats that I adopted from a shelter, but it was in Heber City and I've moved here, so I don't have that proof anymore. But they took that out so that it's just three pets and the fourth one is a special license. I wanted to go over just a little bit the additional animal permits. So there's an annual fee for that. If the fourth animal is a dog, you have to submit with your special permit a site plan that shows the outdoor area with the fencing, the kennel, the dog run. It has to be capable of holding four dogs, and it can be no less than 100 feet from neighboring dwellings. So I went over and looked at some aerials in Foxborough. There aren't a lot of lots over there that would actually qualify for the fourth permit or four dogs, but I did find a couple. So these are a couple of examples. So if they're up against open space, their lot, or generally that's how it would have to be, up against a park or other open space in order to have an animal, to have the fourth animal in Foxborough. And that was specifically requested by our council members that live in Foxborough to see how that would fit in with their neighborhood. So their neighbors could still have three dogs, but they couldn't have the fourth dog. The special permit calls for an inspection for the additional permit. They want to make sure that the area is sanitary, safe, and that there's that escape or causing a nuisance by the fourth animal would not be likely. They will also, as part of that permit, review your previous nuisance complaints and violations that a property owner has had in the last year, and they could possibly deny you if you had lack of proof of spaying or neutering your pet, lack of microchipping, if you failed your inspection, or you've had a violation in the last year. And then if they that permit was denied, there is an appeal procedure that can go to the care director. And of course, if the care director upheld the animal control care officer's decision, then it could go to the county commissioner.
Can I just ask if we had people that have had a lot more than four in the past that you know of? Or
not that I'm aware of. I'm not aware of any. But definitely somebody who has lived in an apartment wouldn't be able to have four dogs.
Right.
Right.
That has happened.
It's just not, it's not a lot.
It happens every day in Tennessee. I know that.
I'm just wondering if we've had police that go out and find people with a whole bunch of dogs or cats.
Usually that gets a lot of attention when that happens.
I mean, I've known in the past people that had a lot of cats.
Yeah, we've seen
and
that.
They usually take them away because they haven't been taken care of.
So anyway. I also looked at some lots in the hillside areas just to see, and I put on some circles here with radiuses of 100 feet to kind of show you which lots or what kind of a lot would be allowed to have the fourth dog that's 100 feet away, or their kennel would have to be 100 feet away from any neighboring property owner. It is possible. It's just a higher standard. So that's if you have four total dogs, right? If you have three cats and one dog, the fourth animal is not considered the dog. The fourth animal would be the cat. So it's really if it's four dogs that you have to meet this 100-foot limit. Conditions under Davis County Ordinance. This one is something that I've always thought was kind of missing in our ordinance when we were working on kennel permits for people who had three or more dogs. It always came up the question, well, what's the standard? What is the county going to be checking for when they give me a kennel permit? Because they didn't have a kennel permit in the sense of the type of kennel permit that we were issuing. So this is, so it's non-existent in our ordinance, and these are the conditions of care that you have for kennels and breeders. So, you know, you have to have good area for them. You have to have properly sound shelter for them. The dogs and cats have to be able to stand up and stretch and turn around. They have to be free from jagged edges. They have to have protection from the elements. They have to be ventilated, free of odors. It has to regulate the temperature in the area that they're at, if to the outside temperature levels, but obviously no lower than 50 degrees. Indoor lighting, if they are going to be, if it's a kennel or breeder that's all indoors, and then they want you to have regular light cycles, so you can't leave your animals with a daylight for 24 hours a day because that messes with them. And then they have rules for storing the food and for cleaning up the animal waste. So that's a good addition to the ordinance.
Question on this one: how does that work with a kennel that's been in the city for years, and are they going to have to meet these new requirements?
I think the commercial ones probably already have been, but the ones that have been home kennels where it's just been a private owner that had three, I don't believe that they wouldn't need that permit anymore.
Okay, but the official kennel,
yeah,
are they going to be grandfathered in, or how do they? I mean, I don't know if they meet these requirements, so.
Can I make an observation here? Because I've sat with Ashley Young in a couple of meetings that she's put together. As I looked at our ordinance and the county's ordinance, I don't think there would be any grandfathering of things that would be harmful to pets or create a nuisance or an unclean situation. So if we have a kennel that's operating with a cage that isn't humane to an animal, or they're not protected from the elements like it says, or maybe there's some problem with the temperature or it's not clean, I don't think there would be any grandfathering of that today.
Sure.
Or in the future.
What about distance from?
Yeah, now distance, that may be an area where an animal control or enforcement officer may have to use their judgment or look at the history or something.
Right.
I think if there's something we've permitted in the past, it's probably going to be grandfathered by way of distance.
And my understanding is that I don't think we have any commercial kennel licenses in residential areas. They're the ones that are in the MD zone. So like Cottle Critters, there's the one.
Well, I'm thinking of the one on the highway that's been there for years, and now we've got all the condos built around it.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, right there.
That's the one. I've never been in it, but I just know that.
I'm not even sure he's still operating. But I can check on that one. I can certainly check on that. I forgot about that one.
We've allowed all these things to be built around them now, and I can certainly see them coming back with their argument like, wait a minute, we've been here a lot longer than these residents have, and you allowed it, so how can you come back and tell us now we can't operate our business?
I also think, though, in any case, you know, if they say they have a barking dog problem, that's always been a violation of our code as well, even if people weren't living right around.
So they might be grandfathered based on distance, but not based on the
nuisance. Not on some of the nuisance things, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they, you know.
I don't remember that we've had complaints necessarily about that one.
That's why I forgot about it, because I haven't heard anybody call me.
I think it's probably been a pretty
The biggest thing I remember is where we had the ordinance on the vicious dogs, which was the, what were they called? The
pit bulls.
The pit bull ordinance. And they took it all the way to the Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court. And we won. And so all the cities across the country wanted to see our ordinance. But we did away with that ordinance a while back. Just for a little bit of history there.
I wasn't around for that. Under Davis County Ordinance for Nuisance Animals, it's fairly similar. It's just a little bit more defined. They've just kind of given more explanation of these things, but a lot of the terms are exactly the same. So I don't really have too much to say about that. It's pretty much the same. It's just there's a couple more definitions that have been added that just expand on what a nuisance animal is, and then talks about what the abatement of public nuisance animals is. So those are strays. If they find a stray, they'll try to attempt to get written consent of the owner to abate the animal. And abatement, it can include the euthanization, relocation, or placement of the animal. They can seek a court order to abate if they can't find, if the owner, if they do find the owner and the owner is not cooperative, then they can go to court and get an abatement of the animal if it's found to be a nuisance. And then the animal can be impounded until there's a court date. So our ordinance is a little bit, is quiet on this part of it, the abatement of public nuisance animals. It says we can abate them. It just doesn't go into the detail of how to do it. So I think that's a good step towards taking care of those nuisance animals. Davis County ordinances in relationship to livestock. So livestock ordinances don't really apply to us. We don't have too much. We do have some livestock in the city. If you've ever gotten off the Center Street exit and looked to your right, you see some livestock there in that pasture. So those would be governed by this part of that they're, you know, required to keep the fencing up and make it sufficient to escape. And then also the animal cruelty, you'll see it would apply to all animals, not just dogs and cats. We don't have anything in our ordinance about controlling female dogs that are in heat. The county ordinance does. And then possession of potentially dangerous animals and of a potentially dangerous animal and a dangerous animal. So they define those two things differently. It's very similar to what we have about the fierce, dangerous, and vicious animals and guard dogs. It's very similar to what you can do and what you can't do and not have. So under the Davis County ordinances, of course, they have, you know, animals at large are prohibited. Domestic fowl trespassing on your neighbor's property is prohibited. That's not covered in our ordinance. Animals at large is covered in our ordinance. staking animals improperly so that they're, if you chain your dog up or your pet up, it can't leave your property. Some people, I guess, would chain it and it would still be able to go on the sidewalk or into the street. And so that's prohibited under the county ordinance. And then there's this explicit ordinance about animal waste and how you're responsible for it. So I thought these were clever little photos. Pick up your dog if it poops. I thought that was pretty good. Possession of wild animals is obviously prohibited under the county ordinance. It's also prohibited under our ordinance, so those are very similar. One thing that our ordinance has that doesn't have, the county does not have, we have a provision about it being illegal for someone to rent a property or lease a property to someone who has a fierce, dangerous, or a vicious animal. It would be, you know, an infraction, but we still have that in our code. That is not something that's in the Davis County Code. I don't know if that's something that we would want to continue or not. I'm not really sure how you would even regulate that very easily. And I'm not sure I've even encountered any time where we've been asked to enforce that particular provision of our ordinance. They have specific guidelines about animals attacking persons or animals. You know, it's not just about an animal attacking a human. It can be attacking your property or attacking your other animals. And they go on to specific, and they just expand on, you know, what the different kinds of attacking could be, chase or threatening, if it's chasing wildlife, if it's chasing fowl, if it's threatening by lunging, growling, biting, or baring of teeth. It makes specific note that owners are liable for any damage and can be subject to prosecution. The only defenses, it outlines the defenses that a property owner would have if the dog were or the vicious animal was confined on the property owner's premise, and that the animal was deliberately or maliciously provoked. And then it specifically calls out that a person can take reasonable actions, including killing an animal to defend himself or his property while the animal is committing the acts outlined in that section. So they can't go back later after the dog already went home and do that. But if it's in the act and they're trying to protect someone, then they can do that. So the Davis County ordinance really expands the impoundment regulations. It goes into why, the number of reasons that animal can be impounded. Ours has some of those reasons, but this has even additional reasons and kind of expands on that. And then it goes into the record keeping of the impoundment. So our ordinance is silent on that part. Or no, it's actually the same. I wrote that. It's the same. They have to keep track of the animal, where they picked it up, when they picked it up, who they relinquished it to, or when the fees were paid, all of the expenses that were incurred for that animal during the impoundment. In both ordinances, there are regulations for how you can get your pet back if it was impounded. You know, you have to pay the impound fees and the daily board charges, the vet costs if there were any, the licensing fees, any transportation for specialized equipment. So if animal control had to come out and get a horse and bring special equipment to get the horse to a vet or something, like a horse trailer, then they would be able to charge for that and any other direct expenses that they incurred. It does give the director the ability to waive those fees and at the direct discretion of the director. It goes into some specific details about the impoundment. It has to be impounded for a minimum of 5 days before they dispose of the animal, and dispose of it means transfer it to another facility or readopt it or euthanize it if that were the case. But they do have to wait a minimum of 5 days, and they have to make reasonable effort to locate the owner. Our disposal in our ordinance is only 72 hours, And it does say that we can sell the animals or can destroy them or release them to a vet. So very similar, but it's just more comprehensive on the county's ordinance. And then there are some guidelines in here about disposal of a pet, and it can be done if the pet is an imminent danger to the public or at the request of the owner, or if it's injured or contagious. So I put this is my other cat. She's the most vicious animal I know, so I thought this was a good one for this slide. But so in order to abate and dispose of a vicious animal, it has to be a witnessed incident to be declared a vicious animal. They take immediate possession and quarantine the animal to, you know, make sure it doesn't have rabies, or if it does have rabies. They attempt to get written consent of the owner to euthanize vicious animals, and if they can't get the consent of the owner of the animal, they have to get a court order to do that. So no animal is disposed of without either the owner's consent or a court order, except for in extreme emergency situations for humane purposes. There are rules under the county ordinance for sterilization, so the shelter can transfer an unsterilized animal for adoption. They try to get them all sterilized before they're adopted, but they can transfer them to an individual, let them be adopted, if they sign an agreement that they'll get them sterilized within 30 days of them turning 6 months of age. They also have to pay a sterilization fee deposit in order to readopt or to adopt an animal that hasn't been sterilized, and that fee can be part of the adoption fee. It also can be refunded upon verification of the sterilization. So they have some provisions in the ordinance for pet owners that have subsequent violations for non-sterilization of those animals. So for our ordinances and the county ordinances, they're pretty much the same. They're worded a little bit different, but rabies prevention and control are the same. And the duty to report if you're bit by an animal, we all have the duty to report that within 24 hours. If you go to a doctor and they know that you were bit by an animal, they have to report it as well. If a vet knows it, they're also required. So they're very similar. No real change there in that section. This is a good change, I think, in the Davis County ordinances. It was... we have prohibited acts which are cruelty to animals, and we have those four or five categories there. As you can see, the county ordinance is more robust in the number of types of way that people can be abusive to their animals. So I put this chicken up there for chicken fighting with the helmet because I thought that was appropriate. Maybe we could have chicken fighting if they wore helmets. But there are... a lot of different rays there. I won't go through all of those because it will take a while, but that is definitely an improvement on our ordinance with the prohibited acts for cruelty to animals. And then we have the same in both ordinances about duty to report. If you hit an animal, if you're driving a vehicle and you hit an animal, you're required to notify the owner of the animal if you can find them, wait with the animal until animal control or a police officer arrives. So those are both exactly the same. In our ordinance, we have this interesting provision about the sale of animals, that you can't sell rabbits or fowls that are under 2 months of age or in quantities greater than six, and you cannot artificially dye or color your animals. So I'm not sure if this was a problem in the past. I haven't received a complaint about that recently or at all. But for some reason in our ordinance, it's illegal for a pet shop to raise or sell turtles. I'm also not aware of why that was in place, but that's something that is in our ordinance that's not in the county ordinance. Then we have provisions about feeding deer, elk, moose, or turkey is prohibited. And I believe that is covered in the Davis County Ordinance for Wildlife. So I wanted to just go over what our ordinance for domestic farm animals do. We're not proposing to change any of this, but I think there were some questions that were asked about how does our, you know, our chicken ordinance or other, you know, other animals work. So every lot has at least 18 animal points. So if you have a lot that's less than 7,000 square feet, you can have six chickens or six hens, I should say. You can't have a rooster. And then if you have larger lots, based on the size of the lot, is the number of animal points you get, and you can do any of those. So if somebody had a lot in Foxborough that was 5,000 square feet and they wanted to have a turkey, they could have one turkey and two chickens. So it's really a combination of whatever they would like to do within the limitations of their animal points. And just for your reference, a 7,000 square foot lot is 0.16 acres. So if you're looking at property and you're wondering how big a 7,000 square foot lot is, or if the lot you're looking at is 0.10, because we have some smaller lots out there in Foxborough and some smaller ones in the Ridge too, the 5,000 square foot lots. And despite we think my dog is not a goat, he thinks he's a goat, so I thought that was a good picture. I went through what the ordinance for the chickens would be. So if you wanted to go to Tractor Supply and you wanted to buy one of these chicken coops, these are the rules that go. So you have to, has to be a strong and sturdy enclosure. You have to have a run or a rear yard area for them. If you're going to have a chicken coop or hutch, they have to be roofed and enclosed and weatherproof and predator safe. Domestic farm animals have to be controlled whenever they're outside in an enclosed area. They, the materials of the animal run are stated in our ordinance. One of the things that if you have an enclosure for your chickens, you have to be 35 feet from your neighbor's houses. So if you see that lot that is outlined in yellow, I took a look at that to say, okay, what's 35 feet from each one of the neighboring four houses? And I can show in the little yellow box in the backyard is where they could put that chicken hutch in their yard. So it is possible for people to have chickens in Foxborough. Not every single lot, of course, but quite a few of them. And do you have any questions about what that ordinance does?
Just, again, that's kind of the same question I had before. If they've had a chicken coop for years and it's not 35 feet from their neighbor, then are they in violation or are they going to be grandfathered?
So I think it would depend on the situation, but I think that if they can move it, then it probably should move it.
Right, but if they can't move it because of where it's at, then...
Mayor?
I don't know if it's causing a nuisance or not. Maybe our attorney can answer that.
I would consider that a use of land. And if it was lawfully established at some point, it would have what we traditionally call grandfathering protection.
So there would have to be some evidence that they had lawfully...
I'm thinking of somebody in particular that's in the county area that we just brought in.
And they were never allowed in the county, according to the county.
Okay. Well, then that would be a question. But right now they haven't had any complaints of their neighbor, and they share the eggs and everything, so I don't think it should be a problem. But obviously it could be at some point in time.
And do you think they are 35 feet away from...
No, I don't think so. I'd have to look and see, but my guess is
most of those lots are bigger. So
yeah,
they should be able to
see. Maybe 35 feet is. Maybe they are 35 feet from the neighbors. I'd have to see exactly what it is.
I mean, I don't know of any annexation lots that are under the 5,000 square feet, which is really when it gets too tight to meet the 35.
Okay. Maybe they're fine, 35 feet.
Yeah. If your lots are at least 70 feet wide, you should be able to get 35 feet away from all of your neighbors' homes. And most lots are more than 70 feet wide.
Maybe you're right. I'll look at it and see. But it doesn't matter anyway, but I'm just curious to see if that's going to be a problem. But sounds okay.
Well, and I think if our guide is sure it's grandfathered in, as long as it's not inhumane, that's...
Well, and I think to the city attorney's point, if something was lawfully permitted in the past and either the city or the county has changed its ordinances, that's a case where they can continue as long as they don't abandon the use. But certain parts, as I said before, would never be allowed, such as the uncleanliness and the nuisance portions, which were never allowed. So, but that is the standard we go through on all types of land uses. And we've had several times where we've had to go back in city codes a long ways to figure out if people had a right to keep doing what they're doing. So we do that often.
With that, that's all of my presentation.
Sherry, so maybe you've said this, but just so the council knows, the intention tonight of the action item on the agenda is to really replace the animal ordinances in Title V with an abbreviated set of paragraphs that you see in your packet. We would no longer have a detailed animal ordinance that you see. We'll have some references to it in the land use code, as Sherry explained, which is in Title 10. But otherwise, we are deferring from here on to Davis County to have them implement and enforce their animal codes in the city. And I just wanted the council to understand that's what we're doing. And that's what the other 15 cities are doing.
Yeah, nothing will change in our domestic farm animal regulations, and they're all in Title 10, which is in the land use code. So the county doesn't regulate how many chickens somebody can have as far as in their zoning, but for our zoning it does. And so they will assist us in enforcing any of our animal control ordinances that are in Title 10 for land uses if our code enforcement officer needs them. So if someone was found to have roosters that needed to be taken to the shelter, then they could call animal control and they could take those or other nuisance animals outside of dogs and cats.
Okay. Any questions from online? Okay. All right, let's adjourn for 10 minutes and reconvene.